Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And of course, with us as always is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscady.
Hello, everybody.
And of course, with us as always as well is Mr. Jimmy O, James Oster.
Wow, happy to be back, guys. I'm so excited.
Yes, I think we're all excited this week. It feels like it was a while back, but it was only 2 weeks ago. Not even 2 weeks ago.
Not even 2 weeks.
Recording on an earlier night than we normally do. But anyway, I think when we, you know, usually at this point in the show, we talk about stuff we've watched recently. And Jimmy O has, because his other gig is like as a journalist for JoeBlow.com, he gets to see movies before the rest of us minions do. So he got to see Nope this last week. So Jimmy, why don't you give us a nice taste of and your little review, I guess, of what you thought.
Absolutely. So first things first, I after watching Nope, I've become a bigger fan of Get Out and Us. I'm watching this film, and I really don't want to give anything away, because I this is a movie that, you know how Get Out and Us both have these big spoilers, like these big twists that you're like, oh, okay,
right.
Wow, that's happening.
Yeah.
This is, the twist isn't so big here in Nope, but it's still just chock full of surprises, and it's fun, and you don't know where it's going, and you're kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool, and then you realize, oh my God, he's made a homage to, and I don't want to say because you guys haven't seen it, because it's such a little thing. And if you look it up, like my friend actually asked him about this, I did an interview with Jordan, and I the first thing I walk into the room, I'm like, you did a homage to this, didn't you? And he's like, he nodded, of course. And I didn't want to mention it in the review because in the interview, because I'm like, I want people to enjoy it. It's fun. It's freaking fun. And it's, the characters are great. All the actors are awesome. It's weird. And there's a couple of images that you're like, okay, I cannot get that out of my head. That is horrible.
Nice.
I really love this movie. I really love, it's one that the more I think about it, I'm like, I need to see this again. I watch the trailers now because I didn't watch them before. Now I'm like, I watch the trailers, I get giddy, I want to watch it again. I loved it. Absolutely. Yeah. Loved it. I think it's going to be a little divisive because, you know, we love to build people up in the world of Hollywood and then tear them down. But I know I talked to a couple of people that weren't fans of it, but honestly, the more I think about it, the more I love it. And it's just really unique. And you just have, it's a ride, man. It's a ride. And I love it. And it literally has the best use of a title in the actual dialogue of the script I've seen in a long time.
Nice.
Is it scary?
Yeah. Yeah. At times.
Okay.
There's one scene that's like really unnerving. I mean, it's unnerving is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's fun and shit, but like, then you get to a couple points, you're like, okay, that is just disturbing to watch, to hear. It's the sound design, the set design, all of it is really interesting. I mean, Jordan knows how to make a movie. He really does. He continues to prove that whether you like his films or not, he's a really inventive guy, and he's really creative and really exciting, and he takes chances. And I for one love that. I love that. And I love seeing that. And I actually wanted to watch all three of them again now. I mean, that's how this affected me.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, I have a question. I don't want you to give away what the movie is that was the homage, because there's millions of movies out there, and the likelihood that I'm going to guess this right is pretty slim. But I just need to know, was it an homage to Manos, The Hands of Fate?
You know,
okay, you didn't say slightly. Anything, so I'm leaning it might be pretty close.
That's funny. I am definitely looking forward to checking that one out later this week. It comes out, what, Thursday, Friday, something like that?
Thursday,
right?
Yeah, Thursday previews, and then of course Friday.
I'll be really honest, Jimmy, you swayed me. Originally, I was just like, if I see it, I see it. If I don't, I don't. Now I want to see it.
Yeah.
I thought
that's why people should listen to critics.
When I first saw the trailer, I was like, it looks cool. It looks interesting. But I kind of thought I'd go in and not like it. I thought there would be this moment that I'm like, and I think in the beginning I had so much fun, and then it just went on these wild roads. I was just like, and again, it's kind of a simple plot. Like, it's kind of simple, but it's so effective and so fun. Oh my gosh. I can't wait for you guys to see it. I hope you like it. I really do. But I think people are going to dig it. I think it's a perfect escape horror film. It really is.
Nice.
Yeah, I also heard in some other interviews with Peele and whatnot, but this film basically is in daylight, right? Yeah. It's a lot of daylight, so it's gonna be really hard to pull off to be scary. You know, it's not really nighttime most of the time; it's mostly during the day.
One of the scenes that's the most terrifying takes place with lights everywhere and just stuff going on, and it has nothing. I'll tell you this without spoiling. I think it has nothing to do with the main plot. Awesome. Nothing to do with it. It's just a kind of a quinky dink kind of connected to one of the characters. But it's one of the most freaky, terrifying images. I was like really unsettled.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, bright daylight or brightly lit horror films. It's like there's a whole category of that. With
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, baby.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You got The Shining.
Although, you know what, Matt?
Midsummer. Matt, really
quickly, yeah, you're right.
I got to interrupt you. Obviously, the first original Texas Chainsaw Massacre wasn't as good as the last remake we saw on Netflix, because that was brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the brilliance of that latest Netflix one.
It's amazing what they've done with that.
Yeah, it sure is.
It turned me. I
molded that lumpy piece of clay into a statue. Yeah.
I'm not taking the bait.
Okay.
Don't have the energy.
Let's see. Joe, what did you watch recently? Anything?
Well, speaking of which, I watched Manos. I would like to thank one of our avid listeners, Catherine Horan, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I had never heard of this, and I was a huge Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan. I will admit, when I tried watching Manos, The Hands of Fate, the original, and I got maybe 7 minutes into it, and I had to turn it off so that I could, because it was just, I could tell this was fodder for MST3K and Riff Trax.
Yeah.
So I immediately went back to Tubi. I found out the Riff Trax version and the MST3K versions were both on Tubi, or as Jimmy calls it, Tubby. and so I only watched it for the first full time with the Riff Trax version, and it was a treat. It is a gem. I highly recommend. I used to push that everybody watch Drive-In Massacre. Forget it. Don't forget it, because Drive-In Massacre is just awesome. But
yeah, that's our baby.
Yeah, this one goes right up on the shelf right next to it. It is a tremendously funny film. And Matt or Mark, you said you just watched this too?
Yeah, I watched it, but I didn't watch the Riff Trax. I just watched the original, the movie.
And what was the character's name of the henchman?
Igor.
Gorgor or something like that?
Or Gorgo or something like that. This guy was ridiculous. Torgo. This guy chewed up every scene that he was in. Just with his limp. The whole thing's dubbed over, but I mean, this Gorgo guy,
Torgo
was.
So I found out why.
Why?
I found out why Torgo took a half an hour to walk from one end of the room to the other. He was apparently reported to be on PCP the entire filming.
Oh my God.
Okay. And so everything was just extra trippy for that particular guy. And yes, you are correct. They were shooting it on this camera that could only record, I think it was 38 seconds worth of film at a time before they would have to stop. So the editing was an absolute nightmare. And then there was no audio recorded during the original filming of this, so everything was overdubbed later. It's just a,
wow,
a work of art.
It's so bad, though. It's oh my gosh.
I saw the only version I've seen was years ago on MST3K, so it's been quite some time.
Same.
There's a fight scene in this with these
girls.
The girls on the beach. It's so good. It's so bad. Oh my gosh. There was no choreographing or anything. Just fight, and they would just fall down, and then they would get up and fall down over again. And this went on. Joe, how long did this go for?
It was like 18 minutes. Yeah.
Something like that. It was so bad.
But, yeah, you know, those of you.
Thanks, Catherine.
Yeah. Take Catherine's word for it. Take my word for it. It's only like an hour and 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's totally worth it. Do yourself a favor and then make sure your friends watch it, too.
Well, and the guys from MST3K, I believe, said it was the worst bad movie they've ever done.
Yeah. I mean, it's like saying you've never seen The Room. You kind of just have to get through it. So. And then I also watched John Carpenter's They Live from.
Oh, yeah.
Fight sequences.
I know, long fight sequences.
I was just in the mood for it. I had to see it. So,
wow.
I hadn't watched They Live in ages, and I sort of forgot about the coincidentally extremely long fight scene until I'm like in the middle of it. But such a good film. Although. The thing that I'm most puzzled about is this is a John Carpenter film, and the music, the sound design is not very good. That's kind of what Carpenter does really, really well. And it was stripped away from this film. So, I mean, that's kind of a downer.
I don't remember the music in that at all. Yeah.
I don't think anybody does. It just was not memorable, but it is just to hear Roddy Piper say, I'm here to chew bubble gum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble gum. I could loop that and watch it forever. So
that's worth everything.
Great film.
Absolutely.
Anything else, Joe?
That's all I had.
Mark, how about you?
No. I watched nothing. Manor. What is it called?
Manos.
Yeah, that's what I watched.
On Tubby.
Yeah, on Tubby.
I do want to say, I'm not even going to say it. I'm just admitting it. I watched Mad God for the third time.
Oh, wow.
Hey. Wow.
Yeah.
God.
Did you watch James?
I still haven't seen it.
James, come on.
You got busy, man.
It was sort of like on in the background, but it was on.
I watched Blue Velvet.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you
yeah.
did.
I watched Blue Velvet. Absolutely loved it. Absolutely. It took 36 years for me to watch it, but I'm in love with it. I'm going to buy it. It's fantastic. And I really do think, I think watching it for the first time, I know exactly what Matt was always saying. It's a masterpiece, and it is. There's so many. It's an Easter egg hunt. There's so
help
many
me out with the math. Characters. So 36 years?
36 years. It came out in 1986.
Oh, okay. But you never saw it.
I never saw it.
So it took you 50 years to see it.
No. Well, he couldn't have seen it before it came out.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. Yeah.
That you're doing Mark math.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. What the hell?
Yeah, 5:45.
Well, I was trying to, I'm like, it, when he said I hadn't seen it in 36 years, it made me think that he saw it when he was 14 and then watched it again.
Yeah, that's math off the top of your head.
Yeah. I need a scratch pad.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you watched that. It's one of my favorite movies for sure. Great. And, you know, it's not a horror movie necessarily, but it definitely has
some elements.
There's a lot of horror in it.
You know what?
That's true of all David Lynch, really. It's not known as horror per se, but it's horror, you know.
We need to do a David Lynch.
No, that's definitely one of my big intentions is to do a David Lynch episode because, well, Eraserhead, that's just plain horror.
That is a horror film.
Yeah, that's a horror movie.
Never seen it.
Yeah, and nope.
That I haven't seen in 22 years.
That's a black and white film, right?
Right.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
I mean, the Elephant Man is not necessarily horror, but it's horrific. And what's the
Lost Highway?
Lost Highway. Fire Walk With Me is almost pure horror. So
almost pure horror. Yeah.
And then of course there's, you know, Twin Peaks and the Twin Peaks Return, which I will also say Twin Peaks the Return has an episode of television, one of the best episodes of television ever made, episode 8, if you guys get to it. It's a
never watched.
In fact, you could almost watch it alone and on its own and not even know anything about the show. It's just that brilliant. But
cool.
Let's see. Oh, so I guess the only other thing I have, I didn't really watch anything. Let me see. Actually, I did watch something, I believe, but we may
have. Man of Sons of Death?
No, I didn't watch that, actually. Actually, I didn't watch anything that was not theme related. But I do have an announcement. I have a novel coming out in September. I don't have a date yet, so I'll let you guys know. I will probably know more by the next time we record. But just keep a heads up. If you don't follow me on Facebook, I have an author account there. You can follow that, and I'll keep it up to date on this and a scare thing too, but I have it's a standalone horror novel called The Last House. And it's a mix of subgenres, I guess, but it'll be coming out sometime towards the end of September. And there will be a pre-order period as well, but I don't know the specifics just yet. So I'll let you know
I'm assuming that every time we record an episode, you'll read an excerpt from it.
That'd
be cool.
No? Well, I could.
Serial.
The week that it comes out or something like that, I'll read an excerpt.
Actually, I would like Mark to read it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, why not? Yeah, I'll do it. Is there a summary or anything about this book, or do you want to keep it under wraps for now?
Maybe next time. Yeah, I'm still working on the back blurb. And
he will tell you next time.
Yeah, I'll tell you next time.
Stay tuned.
So anyway, that brings us to our theme of the week, which was picked by Mr. Jimmy O. And that theme is killer kids. So Jimmy, take it away. Let us say what drew you to this particular theme, and then of course, you know, talk about, I guess, whatever order you've got in terms of which movies you watched or want to talk about first.
For sure. I was thinking about it, and I think I was talking to a couple of you guys about where I should go with it, and I kept thinking about killer kids. I kept thinking about, you know, the basics. There's the Children of the Corn, there's technically The Exorcist and The Omen. So there were a lot of options that we could have done, but I wanted to go a little deeper. I wanted to go a little darker, and I wanted to go a little more interesting with what we picked. So not all of them are great films. I'm sorry, but they're not. But there's something special and unique about every one of them that I kind of dig. So
I liked all of them. They're not all masterpieces, but I liked all of them.
Yeah,
I didn't.
They've got charm. They absolutely have charm. And I think I think I'm going to start with my least favorite. That's what I'm starting with. My least favorite. This is my least favorite, but I think it's got something special. We're talking 1981, The Pit, which was also called Teddy. So the film is directed by Lou Lehman. It stars Sammy Snyders and Jeannie Elias. I think I'm getting these names right. Hopefully I am.
Yes, you are.
What I really liked about that movie in particular was, actually, I hadn't seen it. I had never seen it. I'd only heard about the kid who had a little teddy bear, and for some reason there's a lot of little monsters in a pit somewhere in the woods that apparently no one can find in this movie except for this kid. It's weird. But I think it's kind of brilliant, kind of interesting, and kind of terrible. And I love all of those things about it. But I want to hear what you guys have to say. Like, because this is new to me. Hey, Mark.
I liked this one, you know, quite a bit. I didn't think I felt like there was a point where it went in a direction I wouldn't have necessarily gone. Like I did, I felt like I thought for a while that these creatures, what did he call the creatures in the pit? I can't remember now.
Trollio, something trollo. I can't remember.
Yeah. I can't, yeah. Some kind of troll thing, whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought for a while that because we never really got to see him very well. And he didn't really.
Trogs.
Well,
yeah.
No, he had a weird name. Trago something.
It was something like that. Yeah,
Troglodyte or something. I don't know. But anyway, I thought that he was going to. I thought it was going to turn out that the things that were in the pit were all the kids that he had pushed down there and they were still alive and he was feeding them raw meat or something like that. But it actually turned out to be actual trolls instead. So I thought it would have been cool. I liked the ending as well. I thought, you know, the girl pushing him in was fun.
That was fun.
He had, obviously, this kid, he had some sexual issues. Serious sexual issues. You know, what kills me is that, you know, in these movies in the 70s and early 80s, they were not, a lot of these things would not be made now. Like, in fact, I think all three of the movies that we watched from that time period in this theme probably would not be made now, at least not the way that they were.
100%. And there's a couple. I'm actually going to get into that with one of the films. A specific scene that really was. I was like, "Holy shit! I can't believe they pulled that off."
Right.
I love this film. I thought this film was. I believe I said it was a masterpiece. I thought it was. I thought it was so bad it was good. The acting was completely, you know, horrible. Especially the kid. Was just, in my opinion, just a bad actor. I thought the cops in this film were just, you know, great bumbling cops. Gratuitous nude scenes. I loved the fact that he pushed an old lady on in a wheelchair, and she's like, you know, that's like a pull away shot of the kid just pushing this old lady in a wheelchair, you know, like down the hill, and she's just flailing her arms, and I thought it was great. I thought it was a really fun film to watch. I was laughing all the way through it, and I don't understand why this kid's being bathed by the babysitter. That's just weird.
Yeah, that was strange.
I mean, it was a different time, but like,
well,
there's a lot of, like Matt hit it on the head. There's some creepy sexual shit in this movie. Really disturbing, uncomfortable shit in this film. Legitimately.
Yeah, he's just watching her sleep and her, you know, her nipples hanging out. He got a big
close
up.
This kid's a pig, man. He's a pig.
He's not.
Like, he's a gross little pig.
No, he's not. He's 12
years old. Yes, he
is. No, he's 12 years old. He's got nudie.
This guy is Jeffrey Dahmer at 13. That's who
he is. I agree with James. And see, all the reasons that Mark is saying that he loves this film are the reasons that I didn't like it.
Well, and Mark, I mean, The kid tried getting the neighbor woman or whatever to undress. He did went through this whole elaborate scheme to make her undress,
threatening to kidnap her.
That's not a normal 12-year-old
kid. Should be arrested.
I mean, the kid should be locked up for life. That's
and
how
actually
bad.
That scene was so stupid that woman just said, "All right, well, fine, if that's what I'll
do." Yeah, yeah.
And she starts complying with it. And it's, yeah.
But he's a clever kid. I mean, he had a tape recorder in a phone booth to go in. He calls it and runs away until he's taking pictures. Come on.
I also want to point out that according to the dailies, the original Trog or whatever their costumes were deemed too unrealistic. So they had to get new costumes made. So what we actually saw in the movie was their second attempt at making these creatures in the pit.
The more realistic version?
Yeah, these are the much more realistic versions. They looked about as original as like the Sleestaks.
Well, and then
Lands of the Lost.
They kind of look like critters.
Yeah,
a little bit. But he has to lead them across half the state to get to this little hole in the ground. You know, it's like somebody, if I was an adult, you know, and he's running off with the football, I'd be like, okay, I'm going home.
I love the opening where he
half the state.
he introduces himself to that kid on the while they're trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And then there's the flashback to them on the playground at school, and he's like, "Hi, I'm so and so," and the kid just turns around and belts him in the mouth.
Yeah.
That was like, I mean, usually in movies like that, when you have a kid who's like abused or kind of bullied or stuff, he's at least partially likable. This kid was just hateable. Like,
exactly.
I was so happy to see that little girl do that. I was like, thank freaking God, because I don't want this kid existing in the world. He's terrible.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to see the movie with her. You know, like, what's she going to be like? Because she seemed like such a normal, like, popular kind of girl. She was, you know, cute, and she was more put together. She didn't have a weird thing to her as much as the other boy.
Although we only saw a bit of her, so she probably did.
Yeah. Right, but she
was
at least
a better actor than
she at least had some social skills. Yes, you know,
yeah, no, she was just a better actor.
That too.
She really was. Although, you know what's funny, I did some research, and he got kind of praised. His performance got praised.
Really?
Yeah, legit. It's got like a fucking...
His mom?
Like a 42% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know how many, like, I didn't do the deep dive in to see how many reviews there are, probably like 10, but like, that's, I thought it'd be like 15%.
I gave it 3 stars.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun, and especially when he lets them out, and then the cops are doing a line through the forest, and they're just shooting them, and that was it. And, you know, it was so out of the box. Like, I'm like, what? Where did this movie go? Like, it was weird to hear. I'm like, I thought I was watching The Crazies for a second. It was great.
Yeah, he was out on his own all the time too, but that was very typical of the time. So
yeah, that's true.
All right. So what's the next movie, Mr. James?
Well, the next movie, let's get into a couple more popular modern, you know, I'm jumping into Sinister, because we've been talking a lot about The Black Phone, and I do think Scott Derrickson is a marvelous director. I really like Sinister, but I will say, there are things about it I don't love, and I rewatching it again and kind of experiencing it. What I do love, you know, it's about a guy who's a writer who's writing a book, true crime book, moves into the house where this stuff happened, and he finds these weird videos of a film of families being massacred and tortured and all this stuff, and there's this demonic force. It's such a cool idea. The 8mm films, I believe they're 8mm, are so utterly disturbing. Oh my god, the everything about those, it's just like, it feels like you're watching a snuff film.
Yep.
My only minor issue is I didn't care as much about the family as I would have liked to. I just,
yeah, me too.
You know,
particularly the wife.
Yes.
Yeah, the wife. Not a good actress. I was impressed.
I did
with
not
her
care
acting.
For her one bit.
She's not my favorite, but I will say that, like, it's a very good film. It's a very well made film. What were your guys' thoughts on revisiting Sinister?
Well, this is one of my favorite movies of the 2010s. Nice. I did my own little list of my favorite horror movies of the 2010s, and this was, I think, number 9 or 10, and I just think it's scary, and that's it. Like, I don't, you know, it's one of those, it's like, I put it around the same range as like The Conjuring. You know, it's just meant to be scary. And I thought there were some disturbing scenes. Like you said, the Super 8 footage that they have is pretty disturbing. And as each of those reels starts up, you get a sense of what am I about to see, you know, because you don't know. And there's almost, and that's one of the things that I love about found footage films is that sense of not knowing what's about to happen. What are they going to present to me? Now, often in found footage films, they don't present a whole lot, you know, there's only a few that really do it effectively. But in this case, it's similar. These are found footage. Right. It's just in the context of a narrative story. So it has that same sense. And I felt myself, even though I've seen this before, felt myself feeling that tension again as each movie started up. And of course, Ethan Hawke is fantastic. Apparently, there are some tie-ins between this and The Black Phone. And Sinister Part Two is supposed to tie into the whole thing. So I, you know, from what I've heard, from what I read, I think Catherine Horan, that our fan on CineScare Fans, I think she posted an article about it, right? Having to do
with it. Same director, isn't it?
Yeah, same director for all three.
Plus, we've got another reunion.
Did Scott Derrickson do the sequel? I don't think he did the sequel.
Is he doing the sequel?
Black Phone.
Oh, Black Phone. I thought you meant Sinister 2, and I'm like, I don't think he did that. I forgot who did it.
Is there going to be a Sinister 2?
There was.
There was.
It wasn't that bad. Yeah, there it wasn't that there bad was. At all.
No, I think there's another Sinister coming out or something like that. I can't
remember.
Oh,
gotcha,
now.
Gotcha.
Okay, yeah.
Still Sinistering?
Sinister 2 took James Ransom's character, who was in the first film, and he became the headline. It was good. I know a lot of people didn't like the sequel. I actually really enjoyed it for James. I like James. I think he's a really talented actor, and he's really interesting to watch always.
That was the other thing I was going to say, is that we have another pairing of this director, Ethan Hawke, and James Ransom.
Right.
You know, between this and Black Phone again. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did Sinister. I mean, this was actually the first time I watched it. I thought it was good. I thought the idea was great, especially, you know, with the end and how it really developed. I really thought it was great. But all in all, though, it's like I had a hard time connecting to this family. You hardly even see the son for like 40 minutes, I think, after you just. He's just not there. You just don't see him. And Ethan Hawke's character, he's kind of an asshole. And I don't know what it is with films and bringing in, you know, who have like writers or authors. They're always so tormented and they're just always self-loathing.
Am I right, Matt?
Because we are. Writers are mean.
Well, Matt's not.
He is totally mean. Matt's mean.
We're only talking absolutes here, Mark.
Yeah, there's.
I don't know. Go ahead.
I mean, and it's great for a movie, you know.
Yeah.
But most of the writers I know aren't particularly mean people. In fact, most people in horror and who are horror filmmakers tend to be some of the sweetest, nicest people, most courteous people you'll ever meet. And they just have this dark side that comes out in their storytelling.
You know what? And I want to give out, in a world of fan bases that are kind of ugly, Star Wars, I will say horror. I think we've maybe even talked about this. Horror fans are the coolest people. They're just really nice people.
They very much totally. So. I experienced that on Twitter all the time. The horror 100. Fans are awesome. Marvel fans, not so much.
Yeah. Sinister. There was a scientific study done by, I can't remember, I'm trying to find it now, but I can't find it now, but it's called the Science of Scare Project. And I believe it was done by Harvard University, but I could be wrong about that. And they listed at the time, Sinister was the scariest movie ever made, according to. They had people watching movies and they had them hooked up to all kinds of things. And they monitored their heart rates and stuff like that. And somehow came up with this algorithm.
Really?
I don't know how, but
it's creepy.
I didn't think it was that scary.
Was Manos the Hands of Fate in
this number
study?
Two? Yep.
It was number two. Two. Yeah, number two. It was real close. Yeah.
Yep.
I do like the one thing about Sinister is that when he's peeking up and the kids are, or the ghosts are, you know, turn and, you know, go, shh, you know, puts a finger up to their lips and says, shush. And he falls down and all the stuff starts dropping from the attic. He just grabs all the stuff, burns it. Wife comes out, like, what's going on? He's going, we're leaving. We're leaving now. Get the fucking kids. We're leaving. I love that. It's like, finally, you know, like he witnesses that. Yeah. Get the fuck out of the house. I love that.
Yeah.
Me too. Speaking of getting out, let's jump to the next film, shall we?
Yeah. Segway.
Okay.
Ooh, James. Okay.
Look at
nice, James.
So I'm going
to... Joe did almost look like he was about to say something. Did you have something to say about Sinister that you didn't get a chance to?
Before you jump over?
No, that's fine.
Are you sure?
You sure? I was gonna jump onto Mark's comment about, you know, finally leaving. I'm like, I haven't seen something that smart since Poltergeist.
Yeah,
it was the last time. Actually, that wasn't supposed to be a joke. I'll take the rim shot.
Yeah, I never see
people leave during a horror film. It was great, and I was seriously trying to think, when was the last time I saw a family just had enough? And it was Poltergeist years ago. But it's, you know, I'll take the rim shot
with your delivery.
Built it on the graves.
With your delivery, Joe.
Yeah. Something happens and nope, you're going to appreciate. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Not everything is a joke to me, Matt.
No, with your delivery, it's very hard to tell, Joe. It really is.
Well, guys.
Okay, what's the next one?
So anyway, let's go on to the next film. Jimmy Jim James.
You know what? I was going to go with this one, but fuck it. I'm going to go with Orphan. I loved Orphan. I loved the 2009 feature about Esther, the lovely little girl that gets adopted by the lovely Vera Farmiga and, of course, Peter Sarsgaard. And Isabel Furman is not quite what they expect. Now, I will say most people know the twist here. I believe, in general, most people know the twist of this film.
Yeah, so pause this show now. Go and watch The Orphan or skip through this part or something, because there is a big twist in it that really kind of changes everything. And it actually made Joe wonder if this is part of the theme, but that's a discussion we can have. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I questioned whether it would be, but I'm like, you know what? It is a killer kid flick. It really is. It throws you, it surprises you. And obviously we're getting a sequel. That looks like the same
prequel.
Film.
It's a prequel.
The prequel.
Prequel, which makes no sense to me. You know what really worries me is that. No,
Julia Stiles is in it.
But what's the girl's, what's the actress's name who plays?
Isabel Furman.
She's obviously much older than she was when they made this, because this came out in what year?
2009.
So, yeah. So she's now, I think she was 10 when they made it. So she's now, in her early 20s. So she obviously doesn't look like a 10-year-old anymore. And
she wasn't a 10-year-old at all. It was makeup. She's an adult when she did that movie.
She was the actress, Isabella Furman?
That's
she
a
was
kid. An, that's okay. not a kid.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then she's even older than she was then.
Well,
I thought she was 12.
She was born in 1997. Right. Yeah, the film came out in 2009.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew she was a kid.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, can we back up for one quick second? Because for those of you who don't know, this film is about this couple that go and adopt a little girl. They already have two other children, but the girl that they adopt, they bring her home, and bad things start to happen. And here's the spoiler alert: they find out at the end of the film that she's actually a 33-year-old woman who has some sort of genetic disease that makes her small proportionately.
It's a real thing too. It's a real disease.
Yeah. It's sort of like Webster, right? Or Gary Coleman, I think, had something similar. I don't know if it was the same thing, but
I think it was dwarfism, I believe.
But what kills me about what I was saying about the sequel is that now the girl, you know, the actress is really in her 20s. And I don't know if they're going to use CGI or whatever. And it really worries me that they're going to do some kind of retro de-aging thing that never works.
Some Benjamin Buttons type stuff.
Yeah.
Watching the trailer, I don't think they're using any de-aging. I think they'll have to
a little bit, but if they mix it in right with the makeup, I think they could pull it off. Cause she still looks pretty good. She's not that old, so she could probably pull it off. I mean, maybe. I just hope this movie is good.
Well, that too. Yeah.
If they can make Natalie Portman look 6 foot tall and jacked in Thor, then they can make this 20-some-year-old woman look like she's 7.
Yeah.
It would
probably be easier to do this than it was to make Robert De Niro look like he was in his 30s or whatever. That was horrible. I wish they just not even tried to do the CG with him and just let him act like he's that age. It was terrible.
Thank God Joe Pesci was in that movie.
Yeah, he was great.
Hopefully it's better than the baby in the Twilight series.
Yeah. This is one, the Orphan though is one that I think if there was a 70s version of this, it would have been weird, because it was uncomfortable in parts as it was, especially when she's trying to seduce the husband.
But
I think a 70s, creepy. A 70s version of this would have been probably extremely uncomfortable, because especially, you know, like, well, we'll get to another movie from the 70s coming up that was uncomfortable enough as it was.
It was shocking that she killed the dad. Stabbed him up. I was like, I thought he was going to survive. I didn't think they were going to go there.
As a fan of Peter Sarsgaard,
he's good.
Literally one of the worst fathers in any film ever. What a dick. I hated him. Literally, when he dies, I was, thank God she can marry someone cool.
What did he do wrong?
He didn't believe his wife at all.
She tried to say, oh, there's a problem. You're an idiot. You're a drunk.
He's an alcoholic. She was lying to him.
He's a shitty husband. He's a shitty husband. He's a terrible human being.
Everybody makes mistakes, Jimmy.
No, that's far from a mistake. Like, you know, like, he screwed up too. He was hateable.
I didn't think at all.
He was like Michael Douglas in Fatal Attraction. Go ahead and kill yourself because you're garbage.
No, Michael Douglas was fine in Fatal Attraction.
No, Michael Douglas was a piece of shit. He deserved everything. Ann Archer was the one who I felt bad for. I didn't give a fuck
about it. I felt bad for Ann Archer, but
she was the actual victim. He was a pig.
Are you taking Glenn Close's side in Fatal Attraction?
No, literally, is that what you're saying?
I hate Fatal Attraction. I think it's a terrible film. I really do.
You think Fatal Attraction is a bad film?
It's not my favorite Aiden Line film. It's not a terrible, terrible film, but when they go Friday the 13th on it, had they ended it the way they should have ended it, it would have been much better.
Oh, when she slits her throat?
Yeah. That would have been far more interesting. I thought Orphan was a better film than Fatal Attraction by far.
You're out of your mind.
No, I'm not. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm 100%.
Well, I mean, everybody has their opinion.
Fatal Attraction was horribly overrated because Michael Douglas was a piece of shit. I was glad he should have died.
Your opinion,
Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my opinion, Mark. Let's learn that.
All right. So no, I mean, I disagree with that completely, I thought the Orphan's an interesting movie because it was a very mainstream film with, you know, at least what looks like a pretty big budget, great cast. I think it did well enough at the box office, modestly well. It got pretty good reviews, but it's sort of taken on this cult following, and that's kind of rare for a mainstream film to slide into that cult following. Usually that is with more indie films or films that went under the radar when they first came out and bombed because they were dumped at the wrong time or whatever. But this is one that did okay at the box office and got reasonably good reviews, and yet still has somehow become this cult following. So I
was there. I mean, I saw it in theaters like before it opened, because I covered the junket for this. I remember seeing this movie and everyone in the theater was like, wow, that was good. We were all shocked because the trailer looked stupid. I mean, the poster looked ridiculous, but it was one of those movies that was so smartly done. It holds up really well. And I get why it's kind of, especially because like the cast has become very popular. Vera Farmiga, obviously, with The Conjuring and everything else. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
The daughter, though, the deaf one, she drove me crazy.
She's great.
I loved her.
What's wrong with her?
No, she's a good actress. I'm just saying, I hated her character. I mean, she's pretty much the reason why all this kind of happened. All she had to do was just tattle, just say something. What is she, a mute? She's only deaf. Why did she tell the parents?
What is going on? Does everyone have to have hot takes today? What's happening?
Yes.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
You're defending the little girl.
Well, yeah, I mean,
she's a kid, man. She's a child.
She helped kill a nun.
She's manipulable.
No, she didn't.
She's She's an impressionable youth.
Yeah.
I guess. Gets
sucked in by the girl. Yeah. I mean, but yeah. It's not like the movie praises that. It's, you know, no. It sees it in a certain light.
But, yes.
That being said, I don't think this movie needs a prequel. It's the prequel nobody asked for.
Yeah,
yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
It's just fine the way it is. What are we going to do? It's just going to be the same situation, you know.
Right.
The trailer does not look great. The trailer does not look promising.
It's a money.
The ending wasn't that great either.
When she tries to seduce another dad, it'll just be even creepier because she's supposed to be even younger.
Oh yeah.
Oh god.
So, dude, Jimmy,
an adult, so she could probably do more stuff now. And it's going to be creepy.
Jimmy, what's the next one?
The next one, you know what? We've already hinted at it. Let's go to the next one. I forgot how disturbing this film was. Let's go with The Little Girl Who Lived Down the Lane. It was made in 1976, directed by Nicholas Gresner, I think. Starred Jodie Foster. Martin Sheen, Alexis Smith, the classic actress, and also Mort Schumann, who is actually quite likable in this film, about a little girl who lived down the lane. She is a little odd. She talks about her poet dad. No one knows why they never see her dad. No one knows why she's all alone all the time. And her neighbors seem to be really kind of jerks. Very, very, very. No one was really nice except for a couple people. But I remember seeing this film and not realizing how disturbing it really was. This is a PG rated movie.
It was PG.
Let's start with your take, Matt. You were kind of. There's a couple of things we could talk about on this.
Yeah,
what do you think, Matt?
It's definitely creepy. I thought it was okay. You know, I had seen this long time ago, and it really disturbed me when I was young because it was on at a time I didn't realize it was PG, but it was on at a time of, I don't know. I probably shouldn't have watched it, but the scene with the hamster kind of disturbed me, and so I skipped past that part this time. But I just hate animal stuff. And so, you know, that wasn't great to see. I don't know. I was probably 10 when I watched it or whatever. And I had a crush on Jodie Foster back when I was a kid because of Bugsy Malone. Was that the name of that?
Yeah, Bugsy Malone with Scott Baio.
Yeah, that was
a great
movie. I loved that movie. I thought it was so cool. The kids with, you know, gangsters and everything. But I had a huge
machine guns.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I had a huge crush on her, but anyway, it's almost like a play. It's pretty much for the most part one setting. There's, you know, if it moves into different areas at times, but it's almost like a play. And I'm trying to think. Well, for one thing, Martin Sheen is as creepy as they come. I mean, that's what I was talking about when I said I don't think this movie certainly wouldn't be made like this today, like that, you know, because the things he was saying to her, and I can't remember how old she was supposed to be, 12 maybe, something like that.
She was 13.
13. She, you know, the things he was saying to her were really creepy, you know, and just,
yeah,
it's but it was effective, you know. Didn't love it. I felt like it because of the one setting, it felt a little staticky sometimes, but I did appreciate it.
Yeah, the beginning of this film is the only kind of, it was like a rocky start. I don't know what the director was doing when Martin Sheen first showed up. He's just walking around the house, and it did seem like it was a play. I thought the blocking was a little off, kind of bad at the very beginning, but it really smoothed out afterwards. I really enjoyed this film. I thought it was a lot of fun. The magician kid,
Mario.
Mario.
Yeah,
I thought Matthew it was Matthew Modine all the way through it.
I actually stopped the movie and had to get my phone out and look it up. I'm like, this is Matthew Modine, isn't it? Nope, it is not.
I thought it was Matthew Modine. I didn't even bother. I said, that's a young Matthew Modine, because the age kind of, you know, is right with that.
Well, yeah, I didn't really see that, but yeah, I love the scenes with them.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah.
But then again, both Matt and I had seen the movie, so I think we already knew it wasn't him.
But the scenes with the two of them were such great little, like kid scenes and almost random in a way, you know, but they were just such, they weren't, a lot of times movies today are just so tightly wrapped and, you know, there's no room for that kind of almost like improvisation or odd little conversations, you know, and this was, it was just such a great scene. It didn't really add to the plot too much, but I love those scenes.
It was a little weird with the sex scene with the body double.
That was odd. That was really disturbing. Yeah,
I didn't think they needed to put that in there. I don't know why.
Why do you even pretend to show a 13-year-old naked?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that was my only issue with rewatching it. I'm like, that was so unnecessary.
That's why I don't think this was PG.
It was.
Are you sure? Because there was some nudity.
Yeah, PG. Well, yeah. Well, back in the early 80s,
Jaws has nudity
was fine.
It's PG. On IMDb, it's PG.
Airplane had boobies.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I know this is my hang up, but the music in this, just the intro with the credits, the most boring piano music I've ever heard in my life, took forever to just get past the opening credits. And I understand what you're saying, Matt, about how it really seems like a play, because there were scenes that there was zero music, zero mood music at all, that really needed some, like that whole confrontation scene when the mother, the landlady or whatever, when she comes over her jelly jars, it's just dead silence. And it's something you would expect to see like in a black box theater. And it really could have used something to make it a little bit more cinematic. But I did some research. It's everybody's got the same opinion. It looks like it should have been a play first turned into a movie, but it actually wasn't.
It reminded me a little bit of Death Trap.
Oh, yeah. I liked all of those things you guys are talking about, because I like that the 70s took time to develop characters.
I like that too.
Dialogue you can listen to and entertain, and Jodie Foster is phenomenal.
She's wonderful.
She's great.
Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Even at that age, she was so brilliant. It's such a brilliant performance. And Martin Sheen is, I mean, he's incredible. He's awful, but he's incredible in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. Great performance. I mean, but you guys, Matt, you're right. They would not make this movie today.
No,
couldn't get away.
I didn't really remember that nude scene either. I wonder if I turned it off when that hamster thing happened. I just didn't remember it. And so when I saw it this time, it shocked me. I was like, wait a minute, are we seeing a 13-year-old right now? Yeah. And so I had to look it up, and it was actually her sister who was like 19.
Her older sister.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
Jodie Foster's older sister.
Yeah. Who was like 19 at the time. But the creepy thing is the filmmakers kept trying to get her to wear skimpy outfits and show more of her body. And she refused. And she tried to refuse to do the love scene. But they wouldn't let her. And so she did it, but she had certain parameters, and she wouldn't, of course, do the nude part. And, but that was her sister and
her sister, Connie Foster. Yeah.
And, but they were trying to get her to wear like little shorts and little outfits and wear things that were more revealing, to make her be more enticing. And I'm like, so creepy.
But you're 13. You don't need that.
Yeah,
you don't need that.
It's better. It's better what she was wearing. I thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. Because
she dressed like a 13-year-old.
She looked like she looked like a real character. That person exists.
And it takes the blame away from her.
Right.
These guys are just creepy. Like Martin Sheen is just a creep who's into little girls. She's not this enticing thing who's dressed up in a little nightie and being flirtatious or anything. And if she were, then that would sort of let him off the hook, as though there was something seductive about her. But she's 13 years old, so that's I do like that she kept the clothes she was wearing were nothing revealing at all. They were nondescript, baggy almost, and
almost boyish. like boy-like.
Yeah, almost boyish. And so really it brings home the idea that Martin Sheen's character really was just a creep.
Actually, she
knew about, her mom knew. Her mom,
everyone in the town did.
Knew what he was.
Yeah.
That did happen at that time. Unfortunately, that did happen. People got away with a lot of crap back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
She celebrated her 13th birthday during principal photography on this film.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Huh. Which nowadays they'd have like a 16, 17 year old playing that part, but.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Or a 24 year old.
Right.
Wait, this happened in 19, this film was 1980, right?
No, 1976.
Oh, 1976. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I had the perfect transition. I said, speaking of birthdays, and it's totally ruined now, but you know what? Let's jump to the next one. We got. Speaking of birthdays, we have Bloody Birthday. Now, this is a movie I've seen way too many times, directed by Ed Hunt. Has a couple of Hollywood kind of minor legends from the 70s and all that, with Susan Strasberg. Jose Ferrer is definitely a legend.
Right.
Lori Lethen, who is the lead girl in it. This is a movie about three children born during an eclipse. And for some reason, at 10 years old, they just get really vicious. And then they kill people. And that's what happens. And this is a weird movie, but I love it. And it also stars Julie Brown, who later on went to do...
Just Say Julie on MTV.
Girls Are Easy.
Dude, she had that song, Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun.
Got a Gun, yeah.
That would
Everybody
never
run.
Fly now.
No.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no. Different era.
But what did you guys think of this flick?
Loved it. Absolutely loved this film.
Loved it.
Yeah.
It also had one of the triplets, the boy, went on to play Mikey Randall in the short-lived amazing show Parker Lewis Can't Lose from the 90s.
Yeah.
And then the little blonde girl, it was driving me nuts. I couldn't place her. And then all of a sudden it clicked in the Blues Brothers when they go to Shea Key to that fancy French restaurant. There's a Jim Belushi walks up to a guy and says, "How much for your little girl?" And that's the little girl that's sitting at the table. She's in this movie.
Wow.
Oh, I forgot about that. Shoot.
Yep. Jeez. Yeah, I haven't watched the Blues Brothers in forever.
I've seen it so many times, I don't need to see it again. But it was, I loved the opening scene where this guy manages to coax a girl to have sex in a freshly dug grave. I mean, granted, it's just a hole in the ground in a cemetery, but still, the ride just began when you saw that scene in the film.
You've got some pretty good game if you can make that happen.
Oh yeah.
And how great was it that when he gets hit by the shovel and then the girl's getting, you know, hung up and strung, he actually comes to and tries to help her out and another shovel to the head. I was like, oh, that was kind of cool.
That was cool. I dug that dude. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Oh, that's funny.
And you know that if he had saved the day, he would have kept going at it in the hole in the ground.
Oh yeah. He was not done.
Nothing happened. It wouldn't have skipped a beat.
Yeah. Is this the only movie so far that you've liked, Joe?
No, the only one that I didn't like was The Pit. I've liked everyone else.
Okay. Yeah.
How did you not like The Pit? That's so weird. I thought you would have loved it.
No, because it's not Bloody Birthday.
Yeah, it's not Bloody Birthday, man.
So back to Bloody Birthday.
What did you think of Bloody Birthday? What was your thoughts?
Me? I absolutely loved it. The actor who played the daughter's son, he's actually in E.T. He's the one that has the headphones on. It's going, and he's like up in the air and crossing the moon at the end. He's going, "Tell me when it's over." That's that kid.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a lot of fun, right? This movie.
Oh yeah,
same year as E.T.
It had archery in it.
and a fucking peephole again, man. It's, why do people gotta do peepholes?
Yeah.
Hey, Mark loves when people put things in holes.
Yeah, he loves holes.
It's so dumb. It's like, getting shot. Julie Brown getting shot shot with an arrow right in the eye. Oh, man.
Joe, what was your take on the archery in this? Was it a Joe seal of approval?
Yeah, absolutely not. Very poor form. Very, very poor.
Well, they're kids,
though,
to be fair.
I know. Yeah. Yep, they got a lot of practicing to go. Yeah.
Well, but Joe is a certified instructor, so he's qualified to criticize
archery,
his kids.
Level one. Yeah.
We need to have a whole show on the best archery and horror movies. Ooh. I think that
we got this one. Yeah. We got Friday the 13th. And yeah. I'm sure there's others. Well,
and there's any Joe loves.
Oh, You're Next has some great archery going on. In the
beginning.
Joe loves any movie with a crossbow as well. So,
well, who doesn't?
That's cheating. But
no, he hates crossbows. No. This film's great. I love the kid with the glasses. I think he's great. I think he's wonderful. The blonde-headed killer. He was horrible. He's just a bad actor. I think they just casted him, and he just didn't compare to the blonde and the kid with the glasses. He was kind of like the dumb kid, I guess. But I thought it was a lot of fun, especially with the poison and the frosting. That was great. Don't eat the cake.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
I was really kind of hoping that would have actually happened, and it wasn't just a ruse. I'm like, I just wanted to see that scene at this birthday party where people are coming from all over the town, just all simultaneously getting poisoned and dying on screen. That'd be great.
Dead. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, this was another fun one. Jimmy, you had some good picks here. I liked them. Yeah, there was a good, very good mix. I can't remember. Do you have any more?
I do have one more.
We have one more.
We have a very special one.
What was the other? Now I can't remember what it was.
Well, the last one is The Brood, David Cronenberg.
How can I forget that one? Yes.
I love David Cronenberg. I think he's a genius. I love his early work so utterly, so much. And I got to say, every time I watch The Brood, I love it more. I think Samantha Agar is one of the most incredible actresses, shockingly underrated.
Yeah.
She gives Oscar performances in B-movies all the time. She's really good.
Oliver Reed is creepy.
Oh my God, he's so creepy.
Love Oliver Reed.
Yeah.
Oliver Reed.
Art Hindle makes a great leading guy. He's really good. This is a really phenomenal film. I forgot the year. I think this is 80? I didn't
79.
79, yes, yes. So this is one of those movies that it doesn't, as dated as it is, it feels kind of weirdly still together, like relatively cool, and feels like a period piece almost.
It's obvious that that the filmmakers knew what they were doing. I mean, this is Cronenberg was at the top of his game at this point. You know,
there was some really bad ADR work, but the cinematography was great. That scene where they kill the teacher in the classroom.
That is such. Did see this?
The
is
kids
my
all
problem.
Standing around. The kids are all standing problem. Around, and you hear them sobbing and sobbing, and none of the kids are moving their mouth. You know,
how did those kids kill that teacher with those little wooden hammers? Man, that made no sense at all. These kids didn't have superhuman strength.
Yeah, but no, they
did. They were supposed to be strong.
They had issues. Absolutely.
What part of the movie? What did they show any superhuman strength
when
Oliver Reed?
They weren't normal kids. They were freaks. Yeah. They had this kind of.
I know that, but I didn't think they put any plausible strength to take down Oliver Reed in his prime.
Absolutely. When it's a bunch of them, yeah, for sure.
There's only eight of them. Taking down Oliver Reed at the end like that. How is that even happening?
Oliver Reed is not going to go in the ring with someone. He's not a fighter.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Oliver Reed could kick my ass in Gladiator, and he died during filming of that. He could have kicked my ass. He's telling me Oliver Reed in his prime.
They weren't your regular kids. There was something like super uber violent, super vicious, super. They were animalistic.
I would have punted those kids like no tomorrow.
And they would have gotten you so quick.
We don't know how old they are either, Mark.
Yeah, you know how old they are.
They could have been 30 years old.
Yeah,
the girl in Orphan.
Makeup was kind of bad on him.
Don't get me wrong, I
like this film. I like this film.
This was a limited, but it wasn't a huge budget. He wasn't working with big budgets in these movies. The same thing with the Shivers. It's like there's a kind of a goofy B movie charm to them, but it's everything is so good about them, whether it's the cinematography, whether it's the score. Howard Shore did this amazing score to this movie. Like, he makes B movies amazing. That's what,
and he's got a great eye for detail. Because yeah. I loved Candy, the little girl. She had a wonderful orange Happy Days lunchbox that I just adored. Yeah. I remembered from my childhood.
I remember that box. Yeah.
It had Fonzie, yeah. Richie, and Potsy all on the front.
Yeah. I had that one. And
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I met Potsy.
Okay. Really?
Anyway, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he
that's
showed
where
up
he cued
at the restaurant.
Crickets, Matt.
Williams, right? Yeah, Anson Williams, and I said, Anson Williams. He's going, thanks for not calling me Potsy. I shook my hand. I got a picture of it.
Did he say that
guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome! I love that.
Stop with the crickets, man. It's not every day you meet Potsy.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. God damn it.
I believe he likes to be addressed as Anson Williams, but
yes, he does.
Hey, wait, can I tell you a real quick story going
great
to my
singer
bloody
too.
Birthday a little bit?
Yes.
So I was in line at Starbucks getting coffee one
Sorry,
day.
That was delayed, Joe.
So I was in line, I'm getting my coffee, and this woman starts talking to my friend who works there, and she starts talking, oh yeah, blah blah blah, talking about movies. And we start talking about horror movies. She's like, yeah, I did a couple of weird movies back in the day in the 80s. And I'm like, oh, which one? She's like, oh, I was the lead in Bloody Birthday. So I got to meet that woman. She was great.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
She's funny. Really sweet, too. Really charming lady.
Wait, which one? Like,
the girl that was from the Blues Brothers?
Yeah. No, the adult. The adult.
Okay.
The lead woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
And oh, she cool. was, yeah, she did that. And I think Return to Horror High, if I'm not mistaken. One of those. But
I love that movie.
Yeah, she's great. She was good. She's great in the movie. But yeah, going back to The Brood, Matt, what did you think? Did you kind of hit on this at all or no?
Oh yeah, no. I've seen this before, and this was one that when I was a kid in the 70s and early 80s, the teenagers around the neighborhood were talking. I remember them talking about this one. And I believe it popped up on one of those late night scary movie shows once in a while too.
It had been
a while since I'd seen it. Probably, I don't know, maybe the last time I watched it was in college. I can't remember now, but, Cronenberg is just, you know, when he's kind of that director, one of those directors. I don't know if I'd compare him to Kubrick, but he has a quality like Kubrick in that his movies are very watchable. Like you just sit, yeah. like if they're on, you find yourself just watching them, continuing to watch them. And
mesmerizing.
But he has very consistent themes in his movies, and the body horror, these idea of talking about sort of this pseudoscience physicality and sort of physical I guess morphing, you know, that goes on, metamorphosis and physical changes in the human, in human beings, from The Fly to, well, even this newest one is basically all about that, human beings changing and evolving in a way. And so he's very consistent with that and manages to make very unique movies, from that concept. So,
there's nobody great body horror like David Cronenberg. Right. Nobody.
Yeah. There was some great hair in this film.
Oh yeah, the comb over.
The hair was
that
just.
Guy. Oh yeah, that guy with the neck. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I loved him. I loved that actor.
Yeah, he
was
great.
Great.
And the main,
worst comb over ever was great.
Oh yeah, the main actor I thought was really good. I was like,
from Porky's.
Yeah.
Oh, is he in Porky's? That's right.
Yeah, he played the sheriff.
Yeah, that's.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
He didn't do a whole lot more. And I was like, this guy was actually really good. I mean, he was
fantastic.
He was solid. So, and the main woman, I think had been in quite a bit of stuff, but
Matt Dagar. She's phenomenal. She's a hell of an actress. And every time I see her in these movies, she just blows me away.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of the night. Wow,
not too
shabby. Good one, Jimmy. And
thank you.
So the next pick is Marcus.
So excited.
And
Why did it have to be Mark?
So, Mark, what is your next pick, and what are the movies people should be looking out for to watch?
And where should they be looking for them?
And where, yeah.
We're going to get wet and slippery.
We're going, no, not porn.
We didn't even talk about the Munsters. Speaking of porn, the Munsters trailer.
Do we have to talk about that? Oh, my God.
I would like to point out that I found out it's going straight to Netflix.
Yep.
I bet the reason why is because when that trailer hit and it got such backlash, I bet they Universal just sold it for like $20 million or something.
That had to have been the plan. Zombie,
and I think he's made some really good films. This does not look good at all. I don't know what the hell.
What is he even filming this movie with? It looks so bad.
It looks like it's shot on video.
I don't even know if I'll watch it on Netflix.
$40 million
he got to make this film. And it looks like he spent $500,000. I mean, this movie looks horrible.
It's a origin story. I mean, like, the kids aren't even in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that happened.
Thank God I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up, Mark.
So that's a movie I'm not going to watch.
Go see Nope when it comes out this next Friday. Today when it comes out.
So we're going to do the next episode is going to be aquatic horror. I was saying underwater horror, and thankfully Matt says aquatic horror. And it's like, oh, that sounds so much better. So not underwater horror, but aquatic horror. Makes it sound a little bit smarter. Yes. So we got six movies.
Smart.
And we're going with Humanoids of the Deep, 1980.
Yes.
On Tubi. Have you guys seen that?
Yes. No. I have not. So much.
It's phenomenal.
Yes.
Two is going to be Deep Star 6, 1989 on Amazon Prime. Also, Leviathan. It's going to be on Tubi. That's also 1989. They both came out in the summer, so it's a nice comparison on how two different films, basically the same kind of premise. So that's going to be interesting to watch. We're going to watch Crawl, which is 2019 on Amazon Prime. Underwater, 2020 on Hulu. And then finally, I picked this one just for Joey. The Meg, 2018.
Oh, good God. That is the only one of the six that I've seen, and that's so bad.
No, it's great.
It's not good at all.
It's great. I saw it in the theater. I had a blast.
We haven't even reviewed it yet.
With sharks and be so freaking boring.
No, it's not. It's a lot of fun.
He had 47 meters down. The Requin.
Piranha.
Yeah.
No.
Piranha 3DD.
Yes.
Oh, I love that one. But no. There's a topic happening.
Okay.
You know what, Mark? I'm okay with this because I do love Jason Statham. So I'm okay
with it. Yeah, it's great.
Even though that movie's not Meg. We're going to watch it again for you.
Matt, have you seen The Meg?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, maybe I'll pick another one. Who knows?
No, you got it locked in. It's The Meg.
Yeah. Now that it's recorded.
Yeah.
Now we've got to do it.
Yeah. That's great.
Still, I only have five movies to watch.
No, you have to rewatch it.
Yeah.
The rules.
Well, I've only got three.
Do you know the rules?
Hey, Joe. You could just do the YouTube thing and watch the best of it, and you'll see about 5 minutes. That's fine. You're good. Just
kidding. Just done kidding. And
sorry,
done.
Mark.
James, shut up. You can't do that. Sorry. That's Mark, against the rules.
This is why you're not Brian's favorite.
No, you're his favorite, obviously.
Shout out to Brian, friend of the show,
Brian, by the way.
Brian. Joe, do you happen to know how many people have Mark as their favorite?
Hang on. Let me go back to the
zero.
Yep, that's what I have in my notes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zero.
Hey,
point
if,
zero.
Poor Bart.
Carry the one.
If there's anybody out there that likes me, that I'm your favorite, give a shout out.
I like you, Mark.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
0.0.
Bastards.
All right. Well, that brings us to the close of another episode. Please, please go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out what we've got there. We've got some merchandise for you to look at and not look at it, to buy. Please support the show. Buy a t-shirt, buy a coffee mug, buy a bath mat, buy a cell phone case. I've got my cell phone case here. It's very nice.
Yeah. Neat.
I did have a problem with it because they have two different cell phone covers that they send you. One is the thin one and it's not very protective at all. And then there's one that is more max protection, but it's basically the thin one with like some rubber thing that goes around your phone and you have to slide it in and it's really hard to put on. But once you do, it looks great. Looks nice.
Can you work with Otter and make a really good, safe phone? Because I need those. I need it because it always falls.
Well, once you get this rubber thing in and the case on, it's actually very protective. So
okay.
And if you don't want to spend any money, but you still want to jump on the Cinescare train, go to our website and download one of the various wallpapers for your phone.
True.
The Jaws version, the regular Cinescare version, and of course the Shining carpet version.
Yeah.
So
all of them are fantastic. I switch them around every now and then. They're all great.
Yeah.
So
add them to your lock screen.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for this time. So we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.